You're listening to The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. On this episode of The Broker's Terminal, we discuss the influence of BioWare and EA on the Mass Effect franchise. Thank you for listening. This is The Broker's Terminal, a Mass Effect podcast. Lexi, hello.
Hello.
It is time for yet another episode.
We're actually getting back on track, kind of.
I know.
It's great.
I was telling Lexi, listeners, hello, by the way, that my son is fairly consistently sleeping in the nighttime, so I have a general idea of when I'll be functioning at night for a few hours, because I'm dead by 10 o'clock. So, but yeah, so we can have some sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Is great, and I'm settled in as Rach can actually see me now.
I can
have my webcam last time,
yeah,
but I'm settled in, my stuff's all arranged. I mean, half my stuff is in storage here in the house because I'm just bringing it with me, so there's no point to unpacking some of it. But then in another let's see, 8 weeks, I'm gonna be moving again across the country to my apartment as of August 1st. So we'll see if this lasts, but here we are.
I love it. I love to see it. And you are going to have a blast across the country, your country. And yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited
just to live on the East Coast, like right on the ocean. Love seafood, big seafood enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be good.
Do you know what I really love? You know what our audience really loves?
What might that be?
I think it's the 2-minute defense, Lexi.
I think you're right.
And with that, we are going to do a little bit of what we like to call the 2-minute defense. Hold on to your pins for the 2-minute defense. Perfect. Shout out to Momo for that. Cool. So we're going to do 2-minute defense. We have 7 names left, so we'll be down to 5 after this one, because I can math. Nara's still on the table. Everybody, I want everybody to know that I am fully prepared for Lexi to get Liara.
Oh, I feel like I gotta stretch and
yeah, I know. I have to get my
shoulders and get back into this, and I've got my timer out.
I know. I was gonna say I gotta get my timer here. That's very catchy by Momo for the 2-minute fans. Okay, Lexi's gonna start us off as she does.
All right.
Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's spinning.
Ooh.
Not Liara, you get our boy, Grunt. Go for it.
Oh, Grunt, my son. Okay. Grunt is, as we know, the tank bred Krogan rescued from that guy who was doing scientific experiments on Krogan. And so he's never actually known Krogan life or Krogan culture, but it's been imprinted on him via memory. And so our first encounter is a bit dicey, but he... you know, he's trying to figure things out for himself, but he's also, you know, like what, 2,000 pounds of pure aggression. So, you know, he's got a big learning curve ahead of him, and that can be a little tough, you know, for someone who's already trying to micromanage a whole team of people with daddy issues and mommy issues galore. So I think that he has a really unique arc in that it's kind of comparable to Miranda almost being genetically engineered, and I wish they had more interactions in that regard. I think Grunt, you know, provides sort of the other opposite end of a natural born Krogan, where, you know, we see similar again with Miranda, we see her as an example of human genetic engineering, and now here we have Krogan engineering and what that can mean for the future of a species. I also think that as he grows and learns on his own, yes, he's kind of like our rebellious teenage son that, you know, we have to rescue from the cops and stuff like that. But I think all in all, his arc is one that I hope we get to continue in Mass Effect next. I hope that we get to see his growth even further, because he'll get to live for 1,000 years or more. And, you know, there's so much potential there that we did get to see parts of, especially with him and his unit on that planet with the Arachni Queen and surviving that. That moment always makes me tear up when I think he's going to die, but he's not. And I think overall, he has, you know, he doesn't really have any negatives. I don't think anybody hates Grunt. I've never met a Grunt hater, so I don't have much to defend there. But I think he's all in all a 10 out of 10 side character. He is my son. I also have a Grunt plushie.
Nicely done. I love Grunt. Shout out to my brother who, when was I role-playing Liara? How old was I? About 23, 24, 25. So my brother was 17 and he was role-playing as Grunt. So kudos to him. Yeah, I love that for him too. Also shout out to Scout, who is now the owner of what was once my brother's and then my Grunt Funko Pop. I hope that you are treating him well. And I know you are. So
Grunt's, my Grunt's somewhere in the pillows and the blankets somewhere the back in there.
Yeah, he's snoozing, which sounds he's like snoozing. Something that Grunt would like to do.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I got distracted by a text message. That happens to me. Okay, so it's my turn. Liara is still on the table, along with some other, in my opinion, pretty good...
I'm trying to think who we have left.
Do you want me to tell you?
You know what? No. Okay. No. Okay. Keep it a surprise.
I know who
keep
it is.
Keep it a surprise.
I'm the holder of the wheel. You might call me Jesus. Oh, God, such a terrible joke, but I'm so proud of it.
That was terrible.
We can end it now. That was a really good joke. I'm really happy about it. Okay, here we go. Babe. It was the one after Liara. But it's a very good one. It's probably one of the best companions to ever companion. His name is Morden Solas. I am not on my watch, my clock here, and we're starting. Okay. Morden Solas, rest in peace for most people. Did you know that you can save Morden Solas? I didn't know until I knew, which wasn't recently, but whatever. So he's really great. I will say that when I first came across him, I was like, what? He's the reason I went into mental health. No, I'm just kidding. He's a really good guy. I think, and he means really well. He's very logical and pragmatic. And I think that for people who choose to save him, this is terrible because like he has like the saddest death, I think. Not if you agree. Yeah. Okay. She's nodding. I think that like for a lot of people who didn't choose to save him, you're like, or excuse me, who didn't let him die, you're like missing one of the most, you know, emotional experiences in the whole game. Just guys, go back. I'm looking in the camera like you guys can see me. Go back and let him die. I promise it's worth your time. But he's, you know, a really intelligent Solarian who had a role in the Genophage. And so, you know, during the time when you, trying to reverse the Genophage, excuse me, I had like a brain fart there. He has like a strong moral compass to say like, no, I want to correct this. I want to make this right. I don't know. I don't remember if he had a role in it, but he wants to make it right on behalf of the Solarians. So, he does that. And I think that it's really being and nice. And for people who have had a history with genocide and, you know, it's kind of the same kind of thing. It's nice to see that there are good people among bad people. So he's a really nice beacon of that. And that's all I'll say about that, because I could go into a whole history on World War II, given my background. But he's just a nice dude who didn't deserve his death, but his death was worthwhile. And I think that that's why it's just one of the most meaningful arcs in the whole game. I'm a little out of practice. That was terrible. But, you know.
That's all right. I mean, Morden's got a lot because he is such a pivotal character. Like, he had his hand in the Genophage creation, right?
So okay, thank you. Thought, but then I was like, has it been around for that short of time? Because Solarians don't live very long, so
yeah,
that's why I, like, contradicted myself.
He really has, I think, one of the better redemption arcs in any video game I've seen. you know, whether or not he gives his life or you allow him to live based on a number of choices. There's
You have to
his,
really do a lot, right?
yeah, there's
Yeah,
like
or
three
wrong.
or four specific decisions that you have to go along with starting from Mass Effect 2 in order to allow him to escape. Well, escape, but like to not kill him, but also to just change it. 'Cause there's you he sacrifices himself. That's the Paragon choice. As Renegade Shepherd, you shoot him in the back, 'cause then you stop the cure.
Right.
And then there's like the one where you don't let the cure happen, but you let him escape. There's, and again, that one, the third option, is very much a very specific
Turn of events.
turn of events that requires very specific decisions beforehand. And I think also you have to have, I think Rex can't be alive, if I'm not mistaken. I think it has to be Reeve that you're dealing with and something else like that. Like, I can't remember because I've never done it. I should look into that because my Renegade Shepherd doesn't like the Krogan news. But yeah, I think there is a very specific way to do it. But all in all, I think he's one of the most important sort of side characters or companions, I should say, in the series, really.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Morden, that I didn't do you very good justice there, but
You're fine.
I will say, do you know how, you know, when I learned that he was kind of a an example that good people can exist among bad people today? I figured that out today. So I played this game for a long time before realizing that Morden's essentially the Schindler of Solarians. But kudos to both of those guys, because they were connected to bad things, but made right. So that's all I'll say about that. Yeah, cool. So that was great. Yara's still on the table, and the other four people that are on the other four, I shouldn't even say people. The other four characters that are on there, is good. Cool. Felt okay. So, next time I'll be better, guys. I'm sorry. Can I have a
Yeah,
mom?
we're a little out of
I'll have a
practice.
mom pass.
Yeah, you've got the mom pass.
Cool. So as you guys know, if you are listening, you know that tonight we're going to be discussing the influence of BioWare and EA on the Mass Effect franchise. And it's interesting because Lexi and I had planned to record this episode either a week or so ago, and since then, I'm kind of glad we didn't, because since then more rumors slash news has come out. So we're gonna jump into that. I've already let Lexi know that I will be bandwagoning on everything she says. Cause she, but only because, and she often has more knowledge than me anyway, but in this instance, she's much more knowledgeable on BioWare and the inner workings. So, dear BioWare, listen to Lexi. Lexi, take it away.
All right. So just to start off with a brief history of BioWare, it was an originally founded back in 95, so it's just a year old, younger than me, for perspective. And it is a Canadian-founded company. They were out in Edmonton, out in the West, and then it was in 2007, so just after Mass Effect 1. Mass Effect 1 they did on their own with another smaller studio, I forget the name, but anyway, after 2007 they were acquired by Electronic Arts, EA. And so, as we all know, BioWare is really popular for their role-playing games, including things like Baldur's Gate, Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire, of course, Mass Effect and Dragon Age, and they also have the massive multiplayer online Star Wars: The Old Republic. So with that in mind, just briefly here, so they, like I said, they were acquired by EA, and that was who helped publish Mass Effect 2 and subsequently Mass Effect 3, and then Andromeda was a specific BioWare studio in Montreal. So with that said, there has been a lot of speculation about what's going on at BioWare, because in most recent history, there have been some pretty substantive departures of key players and writers, workers, etc., from the studio. Notably, on N7 Day of 2020, or sorry, not that, sorry, I misread the date. Ignore me.
It's okay.
On December 3rd, 2020,
You were very
both.
close. You were less than a month off.
Yeah, both Hudson and Mark Darragh, the executive producer on the Dragon Age series, and Mark Hudson announced their departures from the studio. But EA did state that the work on both Mass Effect and the next Dragon Age game will still continue at the studio. So that was kind of a big, that was sort of, I would guess that was kind of like the first sort of big kerfuffle in terms of that. And then they've also had a few other people leave recently as well. Let me just, I should have had this brought up. But they've had a number of different people leave, like Christian Daly, who was a Dragon Age 4 executive producer. He also left. And I think there was a couple other, I think there's been a couple writers, like a few pretty prominent writers have also left. So this kind of leaves us in this very interesting state in terms of who's working for BioWare, because I know they keep posting
A
jobs.
lot of jobs.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're listening, my offer to be your in-house therapist still stands.
I don't really have video gaming skill knowledge.
No,
I
I
could
don't
write.
have.
I'm a writer. I'm a
Yeah,
writer.
I
I could
know
write.
the toll that high stress environments take on employees. So anyway, go ahead. Yes, I have also noticed that there's been a lot of tweets with like, we're hiring, we're hiring, we're
Hiring,
hiring.
we're hiring.
Yeah.
So with that said, oh, sorry, not Mark. Why did I call him Mark? Casey Hudson, sorry. Casey Hudson, Mark Darragh, and the CEO of EA, Andrew Wilson, did say though their exits are part of the natural course of creative organizations, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So
It
yeah,
must
so
be a
that's
fancy way of being like, we still earn money on this.
yeah, I think that, and also just people have creative differences or they move on to new projects. You know, a lot of people do end up going on to different things. So with that in mind, now we're looking at, you know, what is the state of BioWare and what does that mean for our next their next two biggest games being Dragon Age 4 and Mass Effect Next. Which, you know, I think we've projected that Mass Effect Next may not be here till what, 2025?
Yeah, I would say at the earliest, if
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
Because Dragon Age 4 is definitely slated to be up
Next gen?
next.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Because Dragon Age Inquisition came out in 2018?
No,
Hold on.
2014.
2014. Oh my God. Okay, yeah.
They need to get this game now.
Yeah, it's been 8 years, guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, think that one should be coming soon. So, you know, they've definitely got their work cut out for them. But the next thing, with BioWare's sort of staff, aside from their staffing woes and what that means for the future, obviously there's definitely people who want to work in the industry. You know, and industry problems aside, because that's a whole other podcast, with unionization and workers' rights and eliminating crunch. But now the big thing is these rumors about EA. So for those that don't know, there is the possibility that there are a number of companies in the running to purchase EA,
Yeah.
of which includes Apple, Amazon, and Disney,
Is
which feels like the devil's trifecta.
Microsoft's not?
Let's
Because
see.
the
Just
Xbox
gonna.
is really, making a play. I was surprised.
Well, see, the thing with Microsoft is, though, they did acquire Activision Blizzard. So they did make a
Okay.
pretty big purchase there.
That's
So I
true.
don't know if they'd be financially secure
And
enough
they
after
have
that
Bethesda
to.
now too. You're totally
And they
right.
have Bethesda
Yeah,
now.
okay.
So unfortunately, I think they kind of put their eggs in one basket in that regard. But yeah, between Apple, Disney, and Amazon, it's like a devil's trifecta. I don't like it. But yeah, it seems
That's
like
business, baby.
EA. I know. It seems like EA may be looking, you know, to have a buyer, similar to how, you know, Sony bought Bungie. You know, all these companies are amalgamating each other. But so far, as this article says, EA has yet to comment on the reports, with EA spokesperson John Riesberg stating that the company would not comment on, quote, rumors and speculation relating to M&A. He added, "We are proud to be operating from a position of strength and growth, with a portfolio of amazing games built around powerful IP made by incredibly talented teams and a network of more than 500 million players. We see a very bright future ahead." It goes on to say, Apple would make a natural choice for EA Games as the publisher's roots began at the company. Former director of strategy and marketing at Apple, Trip Hawkins, left the company in 1982 to start EA Games. Besides its potential purchase or merger with EA, Apple launched its own gaming service in 2019, Apple Arcade, which lets users play ad-free games on iOS, macOS, and tvOS devices. However, you know, just to throw this out there too, to complicate matters, buyouts and mergers have been under scrutiny by the U.S. government in recent months. Even if both parties agree to the possible deal, the U.S. and other governments have to approve the sale or merger, and President Joe Biden's antitrust enforcers leave many doubting similar deals will get approval. For instance, speaking of Microsoft, their purchase of Activision Blizzard currently holds a low certainty of success among the Wall Street insiders for the exact same reason. Because of the need for the approval by the Federal Trade Commission. So this kind of is up in the air about EA, but the fact that it is up in the air to me makes me kind of wonder in the next couple years, depending on Dragon Age 4 and Mass Effect Next, how those two major installments go.
Well, and that's
some changes.
Yeah, and that's kind of true for not only the effect on EA, but also the effect on just BioWare as a studio.
As a subsidiary, yeah.
You know, and I feel bad saying this because we talk a lot of really good things about Andromeda on this podcast. Mm-hmm. It wasn't what the studio needed it to be, even if, mm-hmm. you know, even if I could sit here and say how it was a fine game, and it was. So they really, and Anthem, you know, I didn't play Anthem, but Anthem was not good for them either. Mm-hmm. They need, not even Mass Effect Next, they need Dragon Age 4 to perform.
To hit it out of the park.
I happen to be someone who's a little bit in conspiracy land. Maybe it's not a conspiracy. And I think that if Dragon Age 4 bombs, there's a chance that Mass Effect Next gets scrapped. I mean, why would they, and with what resources?
Although I will say, at least with the difference between the rushed Dragon Age 2, which again was a problem of EA's by wanting them to push a game out that probably could have used another year or two to make better maps and stuff like that. but with Inquisition's success, you know, that game sold very well. It mm-hmm. played very well.
It was game of the year, I believe.
It was game of the year, yeah. I think with that in mind, all of us Dragon Age fans are sitting here waiting for the next We Will Buy It.
I will buy it.
To mm-hmm. continue our story. But I think also just the sort of direction, I think if they're smart, they'll take a lot of the feedback from the players about some of the, you know, like, I like that it's open world, but it's a specific map that's open world.
Correct.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Just please don't make me run around another hinterlands fighting bears and shit like that. Like, I think if they fine-tune the side quests a little and make it, because ultimately, as we know, BioWare games are, at least more Dragon Age is more like open world, but still fairly linear. That one was more like you had to do side quests in order to progress the story. So that you weren't just like running through it with a low level character.
Sure. And once again, Andromeda is just Inquisition in space.
Right.
And that's, if that's what they're going for, that's fine. Just they need to fine tune it. Absolutely.
Absolutely. What? Oh my God, we share a brain cell. Good Lord.
That was
unprompted, guys.
What's
there
the
was
ship
no...
name, Lexi? Come on.
we'll
think about
know.
It. You guys
we'll
tell us. Tell us what the ship name is.
You can come
is.
Up with something. Just come up with some kind of portmanteau.
I know you hate ship names. Ship names.
Wow.
But I like
some
them.
Of them are cute. Some of them are cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think ultimately it's going to really heavily rely, or at least for BioWare, maybe not EA as a whole, but BioWare as a studio. I mean, they already have, you know, several studios, like again, BioWare Montreal ended up, merging with EA's Motive Studios in 2017. And so, you know, they had all these other studios, so it's going to be kind of a matter of if these next big IPs don't work, then BioWare may no longer exist.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I think with that said, it's going to be, it's still hearsay. It's still going to be, up to success of these games. And I realize we're getting on here in time, but more or less, we're still rumors. It's a rumor mill, and that's, what generates clicks on these websites. But with these articles, that's where it's at. And until we get more information, I know there's game shows coming up, or like game release stuff coming up
Isn't
in the
it funny
summer,
to
right?
say game show and you're like, wait a minute? I
But
mean,
yeah,
like
I'm like, that's not
yeah,
quite what I'm going for. But
there's
Game Awards
expos. There's
and
expos coming
expos
up and
and things where
yeah.
we may get little sneak peeks. I know last time, a while ago, we all sat on your stream watching one of them. That was fun.
We did. Oh.
Yeah. That was a long time ago. That
That
was
was
like
a
last
long.
summer.
Just sidebar, because that's what I add to this podcast. I remember when I really started getting the technology stream, like higher quality streams than when I was using my Xbox. One of the things I wanted to do was watch award shows and the gaming expos with my community. And then we did it, I think it was during one of my 12-hour streams,
I
actually.
think so, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, those are really good forums for information
Reviews
and
and
reviews
yeah, sneak
and
peeks.
having a good idea of like what potentially happening. I'm still, not somebody who's like, oh, this happened at Summer Game Fest, it must be happening for real, because
Right,
that's
right.
just foolish. But yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's, kind of where we're at, but I'm definitely keeping, I think we need to keep all eyes on BioWare and EA and see what happens next. And in the meantime, wait for those little bit of crumbs that they're bound to give us for these next games. But I'm sure there's probably going to be more articles about this acquirement, or they might just throw us a curveball and talk about whatever Mass Effect TV show that Amazon's going to put out. Who knows? Maybe that'll tide us over.
Yeah, I it's hard to know. I don't know. And I like I said, I think that the probability of a game happening is pretty high, but it's not as high as I think people think. Because BioWare, like it or not, is on thin ice. With Starfield coming out, I think it got pushed back, but
It
it
did. It
so,
did.
but even with Starfield coming out, the space drama genre has
A lot in
I'm
it.
just gonna say it a hole to be filled. So it she's cracking up, guys. She's cracking up. You're welcome. It does though. I mean, I could be talking about a hole in the ground. It doesn't have to be perverse just because I'm the one who said it. But I totally meant it that way. No, there's like there's a seat to be taken. There's a throne to be given. And BioWare, the longer they wait, the harder it's going to be to reclaim the crown. So, hopefully Dragon Age comes out soon and goes well, so that Mass Effect can come out and be the
So
top
that's what we
dog.
really want.
That's really what that's what we want. Some people are
I mean,
big.
I like Dragon Age too,
Yeah.
but I would, if I had a choice, Mass Effect.
I had a choice, Mass Effect.
Fair
I've only played Inquisition. I haven't played the other two.
enough. I have played the other two and they're good, but I would take Mass Effect 1 and 2 over Dragon Age Origins and DA too.
Let's just for like 2 seconds talk about Dragon Age. I know what you guys are thinking. Like, wait a minute, this is a Mass
This
Effect
is a
podcast.
Mass Effect
I've
podcast.
never played Dragon Age. I just want to get Lexi's opinion on if you think that somewhere in the bowels of BioWare, they're working on a Dragon Age remaster. What do you think?
I think it would be viable. Dragon Age Origins came out. What's the Dragon Age?
2010, I think. Maybe before then.
Earlier, 2009. You were
Okay,
close.
I'm just close.
Origins, I think, is kind of, again, like Mass Effect 1, very unique in the way that you play the gameplay and everything. So I think, all in all, an Origins remaster would be very sexy. It would just be updated graphics if they could actually get the protags to have a spoken voice other than like the couple lines you can spam.
Sure.
updated graphics, updated gameplay style, not necessarily like making it like the other ones, but kind of like making it a little easier to navigate and stuff like that, that would sell like hotcakes. That would be fantastic to remaster, and I think they should. And I think they should also do a Dragon Age 2 remaster, again, because that game is one of my favorites for its environment, but they need to work on the actual environments. But yeah, I think if they went the route, I think, you know, give or take a little while, go the route of the Legendary Edition. I know it's a little harder to pair them all as a trilogy because they're such different stories that are interconnected, but not as with the same protagonist like Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they went, you know, if they did a remastered collection, you know, and just kind of like maybe visually improved Inquisition a little bit, you know, just kind of polished it up, I think that could be a hot seller. I would buy it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think with the success of the Mass Effect remaster, they have the tools to do it. And I would buy it.
Absolutely.
Because I've never played the first two. And the reason I didn't play the first two is because I played Inquisition first. And then I was like, holy shit, I can't go back and play those. They're old and a little bit rickety. I know they're good. I tried.
What's funny is I actually played Origin or Inquisition first. I speed romance Cassandra with a dude, and then I went back and played Origins of Dragon Age 2, and then replayed it properly and didn't speed run it, and did all the side quests.
Fair enough.
So
okay,
cool. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a sidebar, just because we were talking about it, but yeah, I'm looking at the video I picked for the background, and it's a really good one. It's like everybody on the Citadel, like looking out windows and shit. Like, here's Tali and Liara, which was my fire team in Mass Effect 1, and they're just like, oh, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Okay. Anything else, Lexi, before we end this episode?
No, I think we've covered some pretty good ground here, kind of breaking it down. And like I said, we've got hints of possible changes coming to the studios, but that's all we've got. It's just hints and rumors.
Hints and rumors, baby. And you guys know that as those hints and rumors become real, we'll be here.
Always.
To talk about them. Always watching. I mean, always recording. Cool.
Catch you on the next one.
Catch you on the next one. And most importantly, stay rad. If you liked this podcast, please rate, like, and comment on your platform of choice. To show further support, you can follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and subscribe to our channels on YouTube. Everything discussed today will be archived on the Broker's Terminal. After all the galaxy secrets are at the Shadow Broker's fingertips.